and it's being described as the first use of chemical weapons by ISIS on the battlefield. Iraqi officials said today that more than 36 troops were hurt in a chlorine gas attack north of Baghdad last month. They were treated and released from the hospital. Meantime, on the other front in the fight against ISIS, there were more U.S. airstrikes in Syria today. The U.S. strategy there includes recruiting and training Syrians to join the fight against ISIS, but senior American military officials believe it will be difficult for Syrian opposition forces to defeat the militants without the help of U.S. combat troops. And President Obama has said that option is off the table. Washington Post senior correspondent Rajiv Chandrasekaran is following this story. And Rajiv, you report something pretty shocking, that Syrian opposition fighters will be trained just to defend territory rather than to seize it back from ISIS.
Yeah, that was pretty shocking to me. But it is in keeping with lessons we've learned from trying to build security forces in Iraq and Afghanistan. In the early years in those wars, if you'll remember, we tried to build armies in those countries, and we trained them up, and then we sent them into battle on their own. And in many cases, those units crumbled because they didn't have American advisors to steel them in the heat of battle. They didn't have the ability to summon in close airstrikes to help save them or medical evacuation helicopters. And so this has become now understood wisdom in the Pentagon. And so with the president's prohibition on U.S. ground forces, especially in Syria, the military commanders involved in this effort recognize that they simply can't train these folks and then expect to send them into full-fledged battles with Islamic State militants. So the strategy has shifted to having these individuals, about 5,000 a year, according to the latest U.S. plans for the training, have them go into parts of Syria that are under the control of the Free Syrian Army, under the control of the moderate opposition, and serve as kind of neighborhood watch units. That may be a little belittling, but they would be armed units protecting communities from Islamic State advances, but they wouldn't be on the ground taking the fight to the militants.
And who are we talking about? Are these people right now that the U.S. would like to train in Syria currently? Or are these people in refugee camps elsewhere? Are these people from other countries that the U.S. would like to go into Syria and fight? Who are they?
That's a really good question. The U.S. military does not want to pull out from Syria Syrians who are already fighting. They worry that that could obviously then lead either the Islamic State forces or the forces loyal to the government of Bashar Assad to gain more ground. So this approach is now going to be focused on Syrians in refugee communities, principally in neighboring Jordan and in Turkey. And so there first has to be a recruitment effort going into Syrian communities in those countries and beyond to try to identify promising candidates and encourage them to go through the training process. Then they would be sent to training camps in Saudi Arabia. There's some negotiations to potentially open up additional camps in Qatar and in Jordan, but for now it's Saudi Arabia. They'd be trained for 8 weeks, and then they would be taken into Syria. A lot of questions there. Will these folks who are recruited be good enough to be part of this fighting force? What will their skills be like after 8 weeks? And then obviously the challenge of getting them back in the country. U.S. officials tell me that they expect the first of those forces to be trained and enter Syria not for at least 6 to 8 months.
Well, the other question is, why would they want to go back into Syria if they've already gotten out?
Well, that's a really good question, and that that raises some big doubts about the ability to really recruit competent fighters. It would seem to be that those who want to fight are probably still in Syria fighting, and those who don't want to fight were the ones who left.
Right.
So it's going to involve some arm twisting. And this is where critics of the administration approach say, hey, look, if you're not going to provide them with combat advisors when they're in there, and if the U.S. strategy is solely focused on going after the Islamic State and not aimed at militarily toppling the Assad government, a lot of these guys aren't going to want to sign up. They're not going to want to put their necks on the line if we're not going to be there promising to help take care of them.
And that's the big question. Is this all going to lead to President Obama having to decide, or maybe even the next president having to decide, okay, if our goal here is to beat back ISIS, we are going to have to put boots on the ground?
I think, Jeremy, this speaks to a larger point with regard to the Obama administration's strategy in confronting the Islamic State in Iraq and Syria. Their priority is Iraq, is pushing back Islamic State militants from the parts of Iraq they control, allowing the Iraqi government and its military to regain control of territory in that country. Syria is secondary. Now, they recognize Syria is important because that's where the Islamic State is essentially based and has command and control facilities and whatnot. But the approach here really is they're willing to it seems, tolerate some ambiguity, some questions in the policy on the Syria front because their real priority for now is Iraq.
Hmm.
Now, critics, of course, say that's short-sighted and even if you were to try to stabilize Iraq, if you don't go after the host problem in Syria, you're going to be doing this all over again.
Rajiv Chandrasekaran, you covered the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. You've obviously been covering this very closely. Are the right questions being asked by members of Congress to the officials about the strategy going forward?
Well, you know, one of the things I did yesterday in assembling the story is I went back and read the transcripts of the congressional hearings that involved Secretary of Defense Chuck Hagel and senior military officials about a month ago. And there were some good questions, but there were an awful lot of terrible questions. There's not a whole lot of good oversight going on over here right now. This is a pretty major military undertaking. We're flying hundreds of combat sorties over Iraq and Syria, dropping an awful lot of munitions. There's planning going on for potentially a more robust combat advising presence in Iraq. Certainly that has not yet been approved by the president. A lot of moving pieces here. And you have on one side a set of fears that this is leading us down a slippery slope and that we're going to be dragged in despite the president's firmly held desires not to have us involved in another major land war in the Middle East. And you have critics of his who say, on the other hand, by taking these sorts of measures that they feel are not aggressive enough, it really increases the prospects that we're going to have to go in a bigger way at some point in the near future.
Rajiv Chandrasekaran, senior correspondent and associate editor at The Washington Post. We've got a link to his story about U.S. strategy in Syria at hereandnow.org. Rajiv, thank you so much for talking with us.
A pleasure, as always.